Good morning and welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. We're going to move together right into worship. This is a song called If We Ever Needed the Lord, We Sure Do Need God Now. So I invite you to stand for those of us that are in the sanctuary as you're willing and able, and those joining us online to move into this space as you feel led.
The light wraps its way to the other side of the world, and depth rises. I'm left dependent on what was here before, on scent and touch, on you, to hold these crumpled thoughts, half notes occupying the bottom of my bag. And summer smells like long walks on the dam, skirting rattlesnake carcasses, and feels like mystery heavy in the sky's bosom, as if to nurse us into growth. And even in my stories, I trace soured grapes, harms I did not know my sinews knew. It's the subconscious excavation of the unconscious, isn't it? That is the work. And our sitting with the rocks together, that is grace. Now, could it be that seeds could take in sifted dirt? Some bird calls out, the rains are coming.
Mm-hmm. non-crossable. And have you any mountains that you cannot tunnel through? Well, God specializes in things thought impossible.
What a beautiful morning it is, right? Yes. And God specialize. Yeah? You guys are awesome. Welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator for our community. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. For those of us gathering online at the table.live, Chloe is with you as our host this morning. Please message her in the chat if you have questions or need assistance. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word new to the number on the screen. Our co-pastors lead a six-week series we call Growing in Faith, which helps newcomers connect with others and learn more about how we share lives together. Our next series is full, but our pastors will lead Growing in Faith here at the table in the retreat format on November 9th and 10th. Please learn more and sign up on our website. And I highly encourage you to sign up on Growing in Faith. It's a way to connect with others and just grow in faith. Yeah. Nancy Allen is part of our administrative board, and she has a few things to share with us this morning and an invitation for us to consider this fall.
Good morning. I'm Nancy Allen. I'm the facilities coordinator here at the table and a member of the administrative board. Last week, our lay leader, Derek Kirk, shared some information about our financial outlook here at the table and some of the trends we've seen in giving. He also announced that all of the members of the administrative board have already submitted our deep commitment cards for the coming year. This was important for us. It was a way of leading the congregation for you all to consider how you will root your lives in faith, grace, root your lives in grace. Grow in faith, reach in love, and give generously. Now, I will admit, filling out my deep commitment card was like the last thing I had to do before I went on vacation. So I was sort of hurrying through it, and I thought, oh, I'll just put down what I gave last year and change it later. And then I had this flashback to my parents, my dad in particular. I was raised in a Methodist church on the East Coast, and just like at the table, each year we would members of the congregation would fill out their pledge cards and bring them in on Stewardship Sunday. My dad was the stewardship chair for a long time, actually. And I can remember my mom and dad stopping to have a conversation about what they were going to give for the coming year, what changes had come up in their lives, new jobs, retirements, kids entering college, and what they felt called to give. They were very active about that. Then each week they would write their check and drop it in the plate, which we don't have to do because now you can give online. But I'm so grateful that I had their example of faithful giving, and I'm also grateful that when I stopped to fill out my deep commitment card thoughtfully and think about it, I got a promotion this year, so I was able to increase my giving. As we say during communion, for some of us, pledging to a church community weekly giving has been a lifelong practice, and for others, this may be the first time you've considered making such a commitment. We realize that everyone's financial situation is different, and the last few years have certainly presented many challenges. Deep commitments are an important part of our life here at the table, and I've always thought that unlike the church that I grew up in, it's really beautiful here how we ask everyone to consider how we might root our lives in grace, grow in faith, and reach in love in the coming year, and to make commitments towards that as well. So it's our hope this year that you and your family will also prayerfully consider how you might deepen your commitment to giving generously. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy and Sarneet. We are going to keep moving in worship, and I'll invite us to remain seated for those of us that are in the sanctuary. This is a song that comes to us from Trevor Hall called The Old Story.
You could play it out, but all of it's in your head, holding on with both two hands. Gotta let go now. Is it really you knocking at your own door, always looking for something more? Don't be a fool now. Don't be a fool. Oh, no, no. You just gotta let that old story go. You just gotta let that good river flow into your heart. It's a start. You're gonna run to, if you're gonna run from here, only running from your own fear. It'll catch up now. Gotta let it die. Gotta let it go its own way. Will you be you? they stay. I'm afraid. Oh, no, no, no. You just gotta let that old story go. You just gotta let that good river flow into your heart. It's a start.
Amen, amen. I want to invite our youngest friends. We have what we call godly play for our children who are in kindergarten all the way up through elementary school, and that is upstairs, and Victor is in the back there ready to help our young friends make their way up, and Peter will gather there together with Victor, and they will share a story together for our youngest friends, and for those of us who have kiddos who aren't yet in kindergarten, you're welcome to use our childcare, which is just across the way in the A-frame where Empress and Mia are awaiting as you desire. You're also welcome to just stay here with those children and let the music wash over all of us in this space. Our reading this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah in the 31st chapter, verses 27 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. I invite us to hear an image from this scripture put to song by Audrey Assad. This is Made New.
Verdant and pure, with no is one of those times when I don't really want to preach. I think that song by Trevor Hall, then the scripture, and then that song, we're good. That just ties it right together, right? Gosh, and an amazing music team, so beautiful. Sarneet and I, you know, our numbers are gaining. Mm-hmm. Those of us who just fall into that stuff and lose ourselves. Trevor Hall and Audrey Assad put to music so much of the work that inhabits so many of our interior lives. Letting go of old stories and then being made new. I think if the prophet Jeremiah had been a musician, he might have mashed those two songs in one, and his title would have been Chapter 31, because that's what it's all about. Yeah. Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney sets the stage for us with Jeremiah this week. Jeremiah lived through the demise of his civilization, she writes. When the Babylonians invaded Judah, assaulted Jerusalem, and reduced the temple to rubble, exiling or killing the royal family, the priests, the prophets, the majority of the population. And in Judah in 586 BCE, broken families would have been ravaged by grief and loss. Those left behind would have had to scramble to find surviving relatives and a place to sleep if their homes had been destroyed. Produce and food animals were either destroyed or taken. Every object of value was plundered. Anyone with any authority, even, or skill to help rebuild the society, they were dead or gone. And into this, using some of the most hopeful words of Scripture, the prophet Jeremiah speaks into that time that I just shared, into his people. And he basically says, God is still with you. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And then God promises God's self to them in a new way. This is the covenant, then, that I'll make with the house of Israel. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and no longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. This new approach would not require that the laws be posted on commandments, you remember those, or carried in a box, because those shattered, right? And they were being carried by the people in the Ark of the Covenant, the remainder of the Ten Commandments. Instead, they would reside in their hearts, and it would be woven into their emotions and their hopes and their dreams, and it was God's move then, from commandments to conversation. From rules to relationship. In addition to knowing the rules then of God, they would know God with their being. It was a new covenant that would alter their picture and their pattern, their worldview of failure, and transform it into a relationship of forgiveness and new life. So why would God go to such great lengths? When we consider the arc of God's story, it seems clear to me, maybe to you too, that God has this innate deep desire to know, but also to be known. And I believe that knowing God and being known by God is actually how all of us learn to love. So what does a journey of learning to know God and to be known by God? What does that, like, really look like? Well, this week I was reading through the journey of a guy you may have heard of. His name's William Shatner, of Star Trek fame. Full transparency, I am a fan of Star Trek through the ages. I say that to be clear, it isn't that I'm a particular fan of William Shatner. He's good, he's all right. It was, though, the whole Star Trek, you know, series, which has continued through the years to draw me in. And if I had to choose a captain of, like, of course it's Captain Janeway for me. Picard is good. He's good, but he's not Janeway. And this is going over many people's heads, like yours, right? Here's what I learned about him this week. He's in seminary. He has a choice to make of an elective, like, course, right? You can take the philosophy of Star Trek or the philosophy of environmental justice. Environmental justice. Yeah. I know, it's good. All means all, Matt. All means all. Ooh, yep. I so would have loved that class. I actually said, did you get the notes for it? So not long ago, I learned that William Shatner was a guest on, like, Blue Origin's second all-civilian trip into space. And he wrote, turns out, about his experience in his recently released memoir, which I've been appreciating over these weeks. Traveling into space seemed like a pretty fitting opportunity to me for a 90-year-old man whose major life character that he portrayed in Star Trek was Captain James T. Kirk of the Starship Enterprise. So I do need to be inclusive. So the mission of Starship Enterprise, in case you don't know, is to seek out new life and new civilizations, and his was to boldly go where no man has gone before. And of course, we know it went on to boldly go where no one has gone before. That's because they're great. We always knew when Captain Kirk and all of those after him were ready to take off on their next mission or to make some kind of a shift, because the camera would close up, usually, on the bridge, and he would say, do you remember, engage, right? So Shatner journeyed into space holding many of the stories, though, he had heard over his lifetime of real space travel, not make-believe. And so he writes in his memoir that he was breathless with anticipation. And once he got into space, while others frolicked in the gravity-free zone, he said he needed to get to the window as quickly as possible to see what was out there. And he looked out and he saw the Earth below, and then he shifted his gaze into the deep space. And what he saw really surprised him. Because when he looked into deep space, there was no mystery. He said there was no majestic awe to behold. All he saw was death. And he wrote this: everything I thought was wrong. Everything I had expected to see was wrong. I thought that going into space would be the ultimate catharsis of that connection I had been looking for between all living things, that being up there would be the next beautiful step to understanding the harmony of the heavens. I discovered that the beauty isn't out there. It's down here with all of us. Leaving that behind made my connection to our tiny planet even more profound. The beauty is down here with all of us. And seeking out the connection between all living things points us not to some God that is out there in the heavens, but right here in our hearts. And this was not what William Shatner expected. And I would say God often moves in unexpected ways. And that was true in Jeremiah's day, too. The message from the prophet Jeremiah pulses with hope for an Israel in exile, but also for those who were to come. See, the words of Jeremiah were written in a particular context, as I said, to a particular people. And the prophet Jeremiah, well, he would go on to shape generations and generations which would follow. Faithful Jewish people throughout the generations would find deep hope and keep going back to Jeremiah. And Jesus was one of them. A Jewish peasant himself, he was born and raised fully within that deep tradition. And then over time, those of us who have come to see the fullness of God embodied in the birth and life, in the ministry, in the death and the resurrection of Jesus would come to read Jeremiah alongside Jesus, who also called into account those who transgressed God's law, even at the same time he promised forgiveness of those transgressions. For followers of Jesus, he embodies God's promise yet again of a new covenant. God's unexpected hope, you see, is always already unfolding again. And like those in Jeremiah's day, to recognize and to claim this reality requires all of us to actually practice being connected, engaged, to live connected, to love connected, connected to God, connected to ourselves, and connected to our neighbors. And this is often, I would say, our greatest human challenge. This week I learned it was also a challenge for William Shatner. Other parts of his memoir I read through, he writes this about God. I don't have a God. I don't believe there is a deity in the heavens with a unique individual plan for everything on earth below and the stars above. I just want to say, me either. That's a caricature of Christian belief that people rail against. And then he continues, while I'm not religious, I consider myself spiritual, and I believe in the universe. I believe that somehow in ways we just haven't figured out yet, we are all connected. We are connected by the same bonds as every living thing in the cosmos. The absence of an answer for all of life's questions, he writes, does not indicate that there is no answer. Just means we haven't found it yet. We might call that living in the questions. When William Shatner finally arrived out there in space, he writes that the feeling wasn't a warmth or a glow, it was ominous. It was the opposite of life. I was so thoroughly unprepared for this experience, it was almost the strongest feelings of grief I have ever encountered. And the contrast between the vicious coldness of space and the warm nurturing of Earth below filled me with overwhelming sadness. Every day we are confronted, he writes, with the knowledge of further destruction of Earth at our hands. The extinction of animal species, of flora and fauna, things that took 5 billion years to evolve, and suddenly we will never see them again because of the interference of mankind, it filled me with dread. My trip to space was supposed to be a celebration. Instead, it felt like a funeral. And in a way, I think he's right. It was a funeral for him. He experienced death to the old story of faith as a set of dogmatic beliefs into faith as a way of living life connected in community. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Shatner underwent a conversion experience in space. I am saying, though, that his experience caused him to try to put into words the profound experience he had of seeing Earth and feeling deep connection and seeing deep space and feeling lost connection. And he, like I think many of us in this very room, experienced in that moment death to an old story. That story of God as some all-powerful puppeteer in the sky. Into an understanding of the miraculous evolving beauty of every living thing and our deep connections one to another. These are the kinds of experiences that we have here at the table as we gather every week in our small groups called kitchen tables. Because when we gather in those small groups, we are invited into all kinds and sorts of existential questions about life and about death. And William Shatner is describing those really well. And I can attest that the work we do in our kitchen tables, it's not casual. And maybe people who want to go into them, like William Shatner, are all excited. But then they get there and they realize it's also about being committed and connected to showing up and sharing what is in our souls. And sometimes this leads one into making some life shifts. And that can be challenging, but also it is just so beautiful. And transformation, you know, is an honor to behold. It is. And none of us are alone in that. So as Nancy said, we are in this season of sharing our deep commitments. And this week, I really invite us to wonder, and maybe even write it down on your phone notes, on a piece of paper. Where is it right now that you long to grow deeper in your connectedness? Where is that? Who is it with? What group or person? What are the old stories in you that may be blocking that? What is it about your worldview that might need to be made new again, or maybe for the first time, so that you can move towards connectedness? And finally, what part of that journey might you be ready to commit to? There's the C word, in the coming year. May all of our deep commitments as a community of God's people guide our life together in the year ahead, so that we, all of us, wherever we are, grow in faith in full connection with God, with our neighbors, and ourselves. I just really want to say it. Engage. Amen.
It was the prophet Jeremiah who spoke into the experience of loss and grief in his day, to followers, inviting them to trust that God was writing a new promise, a new covenant within their communal hearts, the whole community. And it was Jesus who would come generations and generations after and could have any number of ways that he could speak to those around him who were about to experience a deep loss themselves, a loss as well at the hands of an empire. And in that moment, Jesus could have given them words. He could have named for them some simple things that they should always have ready to respond to that caricature of Christianity that Linda had named, but instead to write this promise on their hearts, he gave them a practice. And that practice is that of breaking bread. And so it is we who seek to follow in the ways of Jesus that find that covenant written on our communal hearts as we come together each week at a table to practice this invitation that God gives us, that we might engage in the depth of God's love that is healing the world. And so I invite you to stand as you're willing and able, and we will prepare our hearts and our minds to move together now to that table, that practice through which we remember God's love for all of creation. And we do this by first acknowledging the ways in which we as a community and as individuals fall short of living out that liberating justice that is God's hope for the world. And the church calls this a prayer of confession. So I invite us to join together in a call and response. I will share one and invite us all to respond together with one voice. When we resist, God, your call to change our hearts and allow a deepening of relationship, God have mercy. When we nurse our wounded hearts and refuse the forgiveness which may transform relationship, Christ have mercy. When fear for our own security leads us to close our hearts from all those who are in need, God have mercy. The one who makes a covenant in the hearts of all of creation sees you and sees the world through the eyes of love and forgiveness and hope. And so may the truth of God's unfolding grace be welcomed by you into your heart this very moment, that God sees in all of us the possibility for community, trust, abundance, and hope. And may that be enough. Amen.
Amen.
I invite us to join together in the call and response that is the church's practice for recognizing that inner connection that Shatner experienced out in the world right here on earth. So friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you. let us continue in prayer with the words that Jesus taught those around him, his disciples, so long ago. And they passed them person to person through the generations until the church brought them into our tradition and named this the Lord's Prayer. We invite you to address God in the way that is deepest in your heart. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered here and over these gifts which are before us. Make this for us the body and the love of Christ, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, your love alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love, and all means all, everyone. We encourage all of us that are at gathering outside of this room, in homes and other places, to bring close to you your bread and your juice or whatever it is that you are using in whatever form that you have put that together this morning. For those of us that are here in the sanctuary, we will share this meal out of doors, and Sarnit will come down the center aisle and just direct you. When it's your turn, we go out this door where there are stations that have bread, crackers that don't have gluten in them, and juice. And then you come around and come back in this door. You're always invited also to take time in the prayer stations that actually are surrounding you in this room, kneeling or standing, or simply stay where you are in the pew. Many of us have made this a life practice. Many of us are somewhere like in between that, and some of us have never tried this before, and all of that is beautiful. What we want you to know is you can't make a mistake. We follow each other in God's divine dance of love, and we watch over each other in this time.
Friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you. In the cup of the new covenant, God's love poured out for all.
Thank you.
We encourage those that are praying with candles to stay for just as long as you need. God, may the depth of your love be written in our hearts in ways that bind us together. May we come to know anew in this moment your deep connection with all of creation and your calling for us in this time. We offer our lives and this moment in your creative ways and many names. Amen. We encourage all of you to wonder what God's next steps for you might be. For some, it could be joining Next Growing in Faith series as a way to connect with others, that retreat that's offered in December. For some of us, it may be wondering about our deep commitments to God and to this community. It's something that our community has shared now for about 12 years. It's a way that we try to hold our life together and to be in deeper relationship with each other. We will celebrate baptism and renew our baptismal covenants on October 30th as we also celebrate those deep commitments. And if you're wondering just about the possibility of baptism, either Pastor Linda or myself would love to have conversation with you today. We encourage those who are online, if you sign in, you can connect there with Chloe and others as a way to take a next step, and we know how vulnerable online that can be. For those of us here in the sanctuary, we'll move out where we now have coffee and tea. We have a next steps table there if you'd like to wonder about what those might be for you. We encourage you to give generously in response to God's love, and we have spaces here in the sanctuary to do that. The old school way, as Nancy was beautifully naming of her family growing up, we were passing at that moment plates from one person to another. We had done that for a long time. But here in pandemic, we've just placed them down. But most of us give online, and we encourage you to give generously as you're able to help support our life together in leaning into God's deep love for the world. Some of you, your next step might be to join. We had so many people together gathering this morning to help Sarnit and to help us welcome each other. As God welcomes all into this space, we long to try to align our life with that. So we're grateful for the folks that joined the hospitality team this morning, and we hope that might be a next step for you. No matter what your next step is, it may just be to love, though, like there's no tomorrow. And so we're going to go out with that song. I invite you to stand as you're willing and able as we go together in song.
Loving every night and day, loving all our troubles away. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. Loving every minute and hour, loving past our own power. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow.
Love, that same love boldly move us past our old stories, out of our community's old stories, into God's unfolding, unexpected, exciting future. So let's say engage together, please. Engage. Amen. Go in peace.
gonna love it like there's no